Welcome back to the Lion's Den. On the first episode of this Easter term, we talked to Phyllis Agbo. Phyllis was a natural scientist at Trinity College, represented Great Britain as a heptathlete, played cricket for Middlesex and also rugby for Saracens. Okay, so joining us on today's episode is Phyllis Agbo. Phyllis is an ex-GB heptathlete. She played county cricket for Middlesex and also represented Saracens at rugby. But more importantly, Phyllis attended Trinity College, where she studied a natural sciences degree between 2004 to 2007. Phyllis, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. Scary hearing those years. It sounds like such a long time ago. vivid memories.
Of course. Where are you in the world at the moment in this crazy pandemic world?
Yeah, so I'm in my living room in London. So I'm currently residing in Clapham. I have been working from home, since lockdown started this time last year. Thankfully got the opportunity to go back into the office over the summer. But primarily working from home, which I'm not the biggest fan of, but needs must right now.
It's okay. I feel like the weather this week and being allowed to meet people outside in groups of six finally has everyone with this feeling of the end is nigh, hopefully. Fingers crossed, at least. Yeah. Exactly.
Having to remember how to be sociable.
God, that's something that terrifies us all. I read out your impressive CV there. Obviously, there was the heptathlon cricket and rugby. Heptathlon was your main gig, I understand. But clearly, a very talented multi-sport athlete. It seems to be something that's always in the wider conversation, particularly with young athletes, and how we educate our children. Do we make them specialise from an early age if they're looking to get into a high performance environment? Clearly, that's not necessarily something that you did. So I was wondering, what would your insight be into that, into the importance of having a diverse range of skills and interests as an athlete?
I personally found that I loved sport in general, full stop. So I loved the fact that I was able to have so much exposure to a number of different sports. Athletics being, I think, the foundation of a lot of sports, running, jumping, throwing. It's something that everybody does at some point at school. And then you have your more specialised sports, as you mentioned, cricket and rugby, others that I sort of delved into as well. But yeah, I think it's really important to have that as wide a base as possible, because it just widens your skill set. It widens your ability to be able to pick up those additional skills that may be required for your more finessed sports. And then also it just means you get to meet loads of different people from different sports. And I think specializing too early can sometimes be a bit problematic, because you may find yourself going down a road where you think, oh, actually, this is not exactly suited to me. But then perhaps you'll become so specialized that it's almost a bit harder to then go and try something new. So I think trying a different sports at a young age is always a good thing for your development, for the way in which you then learn how to interact with different people. I've done both individual sports and team sports as well. So giving yourself the opportunity to really figure out what it is that you're best suited to. And then the fact that I chose the heptathlon, I still didn't want to just settle for the one event. But I think that suits my personality quite nicely. I quite like to try my hand at loads of different things. I've never really considered myself a specialist per se. And I think, having that opportunity to do an event whereby I am able to delve into different skill sets really served me well for my personality.
Yeah, I find that fascinating that you talk about personality, because it seems to be people tend to motivate themselves best either when they're working on their own or they need a group of people around them to motivate them. You've been in both environments. Was there one of those two that suited you more? Did you prefer being in that team environment where you had others to spur you on, or did you prefer it when you were, more insular and more focused on your own goals and your own work?
I think I've been quite fortunate, because even though I did my athletics as an individual event, I've always been part of a larger training squad. So yes, the performance element of it, so the competitions, it's very much you putting yourself on the line and it's only you that's responsible for your performance. But in the training aspect of things, it was very much a sociable thing for me, getting the opportunity to train alongside other amazing athletes, being able to bounce off, be competitive in training, because I'm one of those people that I love competing, but the training it was a means to an end. I was never a big fan of training. So the fact that I was able to almost create a competitive environment within training, as well as it being a sociable environment, really helped me. So yes, I would say my personality has been well suited to doing an individual event, in the fact that I like to be responsible for my own performance. But at the same time, I would consider myself to be quite sociable. So getting the opportunity to have exposure to team sports as well was great for me. So it's a bit of a non-answer there, I think. I mean, I think I'm one of those people that sort of quite liked doing either or. But again, as I said, very fortunate that I had both the team element and the individual element with athletics.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think it's a non-answer. I think clearly your CV says that you don't like to put your eggs in one basket. And I think, you know, that's to be understandable in an answer like that. I'm curious as to how you found the process of transitioning from one sport to the other. I mean, I'm not sure if you watched during the first lockdown, if you watched The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary that came out, absolutely quality. But there was a brilliant episode about where he did his shift to baseball, and he talked about the physical transformation, about going from one sport to the other. I mean, on the face of it, you know, heptathlon, there's a lot of, you know, there's maybe more strength-based sports, there's more endurance-based sports. So you need to have you know, physically your capabilities need to be well-rounded. But between cricket and rugby, the physical shape you need to be in is considerably different. So I was wondering how you found that change.
So I mean, the cricket side of things was relatively early on. So I would say I played cricket up until about the age of 16, 17, and then concentrated a lot more on the athletic side of things. So with cricket, I mean, I was still at school. I was still exploring what it is that I wanted to do as within a sporting career, because I knew I wanted to go into sport, like once I'd done school and university and ticked all the education boxes. So the cricket side of things was relatively early on. So I suppose as a teenager, you're still growing into yourself, you're still understanding where your strengths lie. You're still growing, you still have that opportunity to change the way that your body shape is going. I mean, granted, that can also happen later on, but it's definitely a lot easier when you're younger. I mean, I was always tall for my age, I was always relatively strong for my age. So I think that helped, well, definitely helped with the athletics. And then with the cricket side of things, I almost had to learn to hold myself back a bit. So I was very much an all-rounder, loved to bowl, and was a rather good batsman as well. But you have to understand that it's a very specific kind of sport whereby it's all about hitting targets and being able to have the same like repetitive motions over and over again, and there's a finesse to those movements. So you can't just say beast it like you would a throw, or when you're going to hurdle, you're very much putting your whole self into it. Yes, you do that with cricket as well, but because it's a finesse movement, it has to be, that element of control has to be there as well. I mean, my coach, when I was doing the heptathlon, he always used to joke that my nickname was the Hulk, because sometimes you would be doing things whereby we'd be in a training environment, everything would be relatively controlled because you want to make sure you're not getting any injuries. But at the same time, when it came to competition, I would almost put so much of myself into things that the way in which things had been trained on the track when we were training would then be overcome with this additional power and fight that I put into my performance. So therefore, things like your long jump runway, all of a sudden you're having to add an additional half a meter to your runway because you're now no longer going to be hitting that long jump board in the right way. So there is definitely the finesse side with other sports compared to athletics. But then at the same time, you do have to have that element of control with athletics too. So I think I found, there was a relative amount of crossover. But then coming into rugby, that ended up being quite different because it was very much about like the forceful nature and being able to really sort of put your all into it. I've never really been in a sport whereby you almost think about avoiding injury second. So that whole idea of, you are running full pelt at somebody. It's not a case of trying to avoid injury or wanting to avoid hurting yourself, you almost have to put yourself on the line every time you go in for a tackle or every time you try to hand someone off. You are putting yourself on the line, your body on the line. So that was something I did have to get used to. And then the whole idea around balancing the power element with the ability to, again, be a bit more finessed in the fact that you can't just try and hit someone anyway. You've got to be able to hit someone in the most effective way possible. So I think, yeah, every sport has its nuances, but there is an element of power and finesse, which thankfully I hope I was able to find the right balance of for each.
So that rugby came after your athletics career.
Okay. So came back from athletics and then thought, okay, I want to try something else before really giving up the sporting dream. Really wanting to make it to an Olympics. And it had been announced that, rugby sevens was going to be included at Rio. And I thought, oh, this could be something to give a go. So that's how that came about. Absolutely loved it. Such a great game. But I mean, there are so many amazing women within that sport. And it was very, very tough. I mean, I was fortunate to go to a couple of the England training camps, just to sort of see how they got on and what they do. And honestly, they're in another realm. It's insane what they can do.
Especially at the sevens level. Would you be watching the Six Nations that starts this weekend?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Really, really happy to see that there's going to be great coverage of the women's side of the game. We've been very fortunate to get to meet a few of the women's players and be able to see them on the pitch. There's Shauna Brown, who is in the women's team, who she also came from athletics. She was a thrower. So it's great to see somebody making that transition so successfully. She's an amazing player and a real advocate for that that transitioning from sport to sport.
Just to pick up on something you said there about coverage and like exposure, one of the silver linings, I guess, that was put out there when the Six Nations was postponed back in January, I think it was that, well, this for once the tournament will be standing out on its own and it won't be going on at the same time as either the men's tournament or the under-20s tournament. So is that something you believe is going to translate into a wider audience, hopefully, this time around?
I should hope so, because, I mean, it's the fact that it's not, say, you're just getting a highlight show or you're getting a bit of an afterthought. They are getting their own space. I mean, I think we saw it with the Women's World Cup, for instance, whereby they had their own time. Everybody really got into it and really got behind our women's teams. And I'm hoping that the same can translate for rugby. I mean, the fact that they were able to get that World Championship, World Cup. Trying to think of the date now, was it 2014 or so? And then the fact that a lot of people didn't really know that they had won that. And you think, hold on a second, this is a worldwide title that they've achieved. And the recognition for that, came as much as it should have done. So I'm really hoping that this is now paving the way for women to be getting the recognition that they really deserve, because they put just as much time and effort into their sport as the men do. But unfortunately, the funding isn't there as much, the full-time pay isn't there as much, and the opportunity to really fully immerse yourself into it 24/7 isn't there as much. But I mean, I know it's very much a chicken and egg, whereby you need the exposure and you need the television rights. You need all those things to create the buzz and the money. And then that perhaps then the full-time element of it and all that can come afterwards. But at the same time, if you're not even giving the space for that, then it's not so great. So yeah, I'm so happy that they are getting the exposure now that they deserve. And yeah, hopefully that means that they'll all come on in leaps and bounds with regards to people knowing who they are.
By all means, and kind of sticking to this topic of exposure, I know you joked earlier that it was a while since you were at Cambridge, but you were there last year, just before lockdown, for a panel about engaging women and girls in sport. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about your involvement in that, how that came about, and some of the issues that came up at that.
Yeah, sure. So I was approached by University of Cambridge Sports Department, basically saying that they were putting on University Library were putting on an event, sort of Women in Cambridge, and they were wanting to put a sporting element to it. So the sports department got in touch with me saying, oh, we're looking at putting on this event. Would you be interested in speaking? And I jumped at the chance because it's not very often I've been able to come back to Cambridge and not just say visit, but actually do something that feels that it's of value. So yeah, jumped at the opportunity to be able to be involved. And I'm really embarrassed to say that it's the first time, even for through the whole time that I spent at Cambridge, that I had gone beyond the reception desk of the University Library, of the UL. Yeah.
Wow.
But then to be fair, I was part of the Natural Sciences Department whereby we had a number of different libraries. So it's not that I never entered the library when I was at CAM, but it was the first time I'd gone beyond the reception desk at UL. yeah, probably shouldn't admit that to the world, but there you go. But yeah, so it was great to be able to go along and talk on a panel that included many illustrious women that were involved from a university point of view, from a council point of view. And we were, the panel was chaired by, I'm trying to remember her name now, but she's running a charity or like a platform that's to give women in sport more of a voice. So it was one of those really good events, very well attended, that meant that we were able to talk more openly about the struggles and issues that may arise as a result of being a woman in sport, combining that with your studies, combining that with career, or if you have the opportunity to go full-time and be able to have sport as your career, like all the things that you may have to tackle as a result of doing that, that may not necessarily be there for your male counterparts. So, I mean, various different things were discussed, right from, combining with your studies through to the elements of like funding and even just the idea of ensuring that we're getting girls in sport transitioning through to keeping on going, that making sure that they, through their teenage years, they're keeping that involvement, keeping that love of sport and trying to figure out why that might wane. A lot of things were brought up, a lot of interesting conversations were sparked. It was just nice to sort of be back in Cambridge and have the opportunity to speak to a good number of people.
Of course. It wasn't the only sort of event in the last year. I got that information by doing a shameless scroll through your Instagram. But another post that caught my eye was sadly a Zoom event because pandemic times that you were involved with you work for CBRE at the moment, and you were during Black History Month, you conducted a leadership interview series where you talked to your executive leadership board, and I was wondering again, tell me about that and maybe how that came about and what were the issues that you wanted to bring forward at that.
So I think we're quite fortunate at CBRE that we're given a wide berth and wide scope to be able to put on various different events. I'm part of a number of different committees and networks at work, and one of them is the REACH Network, which is the Race, Ethnicity and Cultural Heritage Network. So it's our multicultural network at work, where it means that we can put on events and put on education elements and really give people the chance to come together from all backgrounds. So it's not just about race, it's also about culture, about ethnicity, about location, and just being able to celebrate the different parts of the business that we have. So, I mean, we are trying to be more and more diverse as time is going on. I mean, in the property industry has been one of those that is being known as being sort of not necessarily diverse, but that is definitely improving. And as part of our work, we tend to try and put on events wherever we can. And one of those was during Black History Month, whereby I ended up doing a leadership series, as you mentioned. And that gave me the opportunity to speak to some of our exec leadership, whereby I was able to have an hour conversation with about six different members, asking them pretty much anything I wanted with regards to how we are approaching the subjects around, say, Black History Month, Black Lives Matter, and racial divide, and all the things that we are now seeing coming to the forefront. Gladly that these things are now being spoken about openly and honestly. And it was great because we were able to have very honest conversations. Each one had a slightly different theme to it. So one might have been about self-education, another was about their own personal journey. So not necessarily speaking from a Black person's point of view, but around the social mobility element. So there's the idea that you're coming from having to work hard because you're coming from a lower socioeconomic starting point, or the fact that the way in which we can be moving forward from where we are now. So it was a really good chance to have these open, honest conversations with senior leadership that gave me exposure to them that I probably wouldn't otherwise have had. And they were posted to the whole of our business, so it was something that everybody got to see. And I think, it just really helps to like keep the conversation going and keep ensuring that we're holding senior leadership to account. A lot of these things, you don't want them to be, we've ticked that box, now we can move on. The action and change does need to be happening as a result of these conversations. So it was great to allow that to keep the momentum going.
Just to bring it back to the Cambridge angle, I'm curious if these type of conversations about representation and, you know, holding people to account, etc., I'm curious if any of these types of conversations were ones you noticed going on during your time, during your studies, be it academically or when you were involved in any of the sporting societies here, because obviously that's something that's dominated internal conversations at various sports clubs at the minute, these mm-hmm. types of issues. And I wonder, back when you were here, I wondered, was that something that you noticed going on as well then? I suspect not, if it was back in 2004, or at least not as much as maybe it is now.
The conversations themselves weren't really happening. I mean, it's a difficult one because when you're at Cambridge, I mean, you are already pretty much in the minority. You can't ignore or you can't pretend that you don't see that. That representation from BAME backgrounds wasn't really there. I was quite fortunate that, I mean, I was at Trinity College, biggest college at Cambridge, big up Trinity Massive. And
controversial shout.
Gotta have the shout out. but yeah, even though we were, 200 plus in our cohort, you almost, I think it's around that. You're still thinking, okay, who within my matriculation photo looks like me? Who do I see that I identify with? It isn't something that dictated my life whilst I was at Cambridge, but it's something that I was very much aware of. And you find yourself being drawn to certain types of people. I mean, I was fortunate that I had sports as well as my subject and my college. So you have different areas in which you're meeting different types of people. But at the same time, you are very much aware of the fact that I would hope that this is something that gets improved upon. Sometimes I kick myself thinking, is that something I should have gotten a bit more involved with, giving people that voice, or ensuring that I'm doing something about making sure that people of a similar background and heritage to me are given the opportunity to come and study at such a prestigious university. And I suppose since leaving, I've tried to do things with work and with my old school and things like that, whereby talking about what my experiences have been and almost opening up that opportunity to people that may not necessarily have considered it, because again, they're thinking, oh, do you know what, I'm not sure if it's for me because I don't really see myself being represented. It's something that I do want to get a lot more involved with, making sure that there is that visibility. I was fortunate enough as part of History Month events that I was carrying out at CBRE last year to interview Chelsea Quachi. So she was at Cambridge. I think she left a couple of years ago now, but she, along with her friend Ore, they wrote a book called Taking Up Space, which was about their Cambridge experience and that lack of representation and making sure that you don't let that hold you back, and the way in which they portrayed their experience was really resonated with me, and it made me think, do you know what, I did almost just try and forget about certain things about my experience, and perhaps I should have really addressed those things right there and then. But I'm grateful for women like them that are now making sure that people are understanding what those experiences are, and making sure that those that come after almost have a bit of they called it a manifesto, I think, which I think is a great way of describing it, but a way in which that they can almost be prepped before going into life at Cambridge.
And so while you were at Cambridge, I'm presuming you got involved in the athletics club. Did you earn your full blue while you were there?
Oh yes. Yeah. I mean, QAC again. Yeah. Yes, very much involved with the athletics club. So I was ended up being what we call the Alligators captain, so the second team's captain in my second year, which is also social sec. And then also got the opportunity to compete in various varsity matches. So the main varsity match, which would be in May of every year, did that for 3 years. And then we also have a couple of others. So we have Freshers Varsity, which you do in your first year, and then what we call VFIR, which is Field Events and Relays, where everything is done as a team or as a relay. All your sprints events are relays, all your distance events are relays, and your app distances and heights with your field events. So got the opportunity to participate in a number of different varsity matches. Got my blue, ended up getting a blue in a few different events, actually. I'm not too sure how many it was in the end, but very fortunate that that's something I didn't really understand before getting to Cambridge, like what that was. And it's something that you think to yourself, oh, okay, yeah, you have a blue, what's a blue? But now, having been there, it does mean so much. And then the fact that you've got various things that you can get that means you can show to the world, yeah, this is what I've done. So like your Blues blazer, your Osprey scarf. And I mean, when I was at Cambridge, they're expensive pieces of clothing. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to afford them when I was there. So I actually only just got my Blues blazer when I went back for that that panel event last year. So very happy to finally have that. And I'm now thinking to myself, okay, when am I actually going to wear this? But just the fact that it's now hanging in my wardrobe is an amazing thing, along with the Osprey scarf as well, because that's also something I always wanted. But just couldn't really justify the spend at the time. But being a work lady, and there are certain things you can afford yourself. I was very glad to be able to tick that off my want list after so long.
So Blues blazer and Osprey scarf when you're on the sofa watching the boat race this weekend, potentially?
Yeah, might have to. Yeah, just to get them out, if anything.
I think there's talk of snow next week, so maybe you might need to
know what that is.
Exactly. The last thing I wanted to ask you was, so obviously, you're Blues at various different sports, or you're a Blue rather, at various different sports within the athletics club. Where were you with your athletics career at that point? Were you pushing, when you were at Cambridge, that is, were you pushing towards, national selections and national honours? Had you already gotten to that stage at underage level? And if so, like, how much of a springboard, if at all, was your time at Cambridge athletically to your athletics career when you represented your country at senior level?
So I was part of the international squads when I joined. So we have various levels. We've got under 17, under 20s, under 23s, and then seniors. So when I started at Cambridge, I was still at my late 20s. So I was representing the country at that level, and then went to senior the year after. It's a difficult one to say, because it's not necessarily that it was a springboard. It was more a case of an additional challenge. I mean, everyone knows that going through a degree at Cambridge is a very taxing thing to do. I mean, it demands so much of you physically, emotionally, mentally. And trying to do that alongside my athletics career was very tough, I'm not going to lie. I mean, at the same time, if I had the chance to do it again, I would in a heartbeat. It's not even something I need to even think about or consider. It was one of the best experiences of my life, being able to study at Cambridge. But it was definitely something that I had to really focus in on myself to ensure that I was getting everything I needed to done, both academically and athletically. So, I was very fortunate to get through the 3 years and compete at such a high level. To say that it was easy would not be telling the truth in doing so. It was very much a put your all into everything that you can. I mean, I was one of those people that I gave someone a dictaphone to take into lectures with me sometimes if I had to miss something, if I was, say, abroad in a training camp or in a competition or just had a training session that I had to get to. And at the same time, I mean, we had a couple of people that would take their cars down to the track. So when we were training in winter, we didn't have floodlights that, they do now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, thank you very much to the physics department for allowing us to do that. But yeah, so we didn't have those floodlights. So training in the winter was also difficult. So, I mean, if anything, it probably made me a lot stronger. It gave me a lot of grit and allowed me to really know who I was and how much I wanted to be an athlete, because yeah, trying to do the two at the same time was no mean feat.
Definitely. Well, that's absolutely fantastic. It seems a good note to end things on. Phyllis Agua, thank you so much for providing your fascinating insights, both into your work outside of sport and at your time at Cambridge, as well as into your elite career on so many sports. Thank you very much.
No, my pleasure. No, thanks so much for allowing me on your podcast.
Thank you for listening to The Lion's Den. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow The Bluebird on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram to keep up to date with the world of Cambridge sport.